My thing, what I hope to do all the time, is to be so completely myself, which that's what I hope I am, to be so much myself that my audiences and even people who meet me are confronted. They're confronted with what I am, inside and out, as honest as I can be. In this way, they have to see things about themselves immediately.
Welcome back to Recovering from Everything, a podcast for everyone who has ever had anything happen to them ever. This was a tricky week for me, buddies. Tricky week and a half. It's tricky, 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 tricky. The absolute unthinkable has happened since my last recording. We also have had a full moon, an eclipse, and Mercury went into fucking retrograde. So the energy I am being blasted with on the regular has been intense. I don't know if that resonates for any listeners, but knowing that stuff, planetary placements, what the fucking moon is up to, that is helpful for me to step into an observation role rather than letting myself be carried away by the tidal wave of emotions and making rash decisions based on how I'm feeling. If you don't follow that sort of thing, let me just ask you, how was your week? Anything feel extra heavy? Have your thoughts been racing? Have you been thinking about things that you hadn't thought about for a while? Have you been forced to look at things that you had been avoiding by pushing them deep into the crevices of your mind? Have you been thinking about your exes? Have you wanted to reach out? If so, you can thank Mercury retrograde for that. About a week ago, the planet of communications went into retrograde, which is a fancy word for saying it looks like it's moving backwards. So Earth's rotation and Mercury's rotations are different. So if we were to look out at the planet, it would appear to be moving backwards. So shit from the past, right? Things from back, way back are coming into our present. Now, I started following the rules of Mercury retrograde a couple of years ago and have had some really, really successful retrogrades since. So I don't make any major decisions about my life during that time. So no action, because the 2-week period is meant for observation, not action. In fact, my rule of thumb is no major decisions during retrograde. Okay. I've lived by that for a few years with great success. So the eclipse happened on April 19th, 20th, and I'll tell you the significance of that. So let me start with, it is a solar eclipse. So the moon at one point goes right in front of the sun and blocks it, okay? So the sun symbolizes ego, amongst other things, and the moon symbolizes the subconscious and the emotions. So essentially, my ego is being overshadowed by what's lurking in my subconscious and my deepest emotions. Eclipses are super great for being in close contact with your subconscious emotions and the unexperienced emotions. So things you hadn't felt yet or hadn't felt in a while. Sounds fun, right? No. It fucking doesn't sound fun at all. It sounds incredibly intense and demanding. So the point of all of this deep shit coming up is to let go of it. So eclipses drag this shit out of us, up and out, and then we get to let go of it, basically clearing out any negative energy. So Mercury's in retrograde, so things from the past plus an eclipse dragging the shit from the past up and out of us, and you get a chance to let go of it. But wait, there's more. We're actually between eclipses because there's a lunar eclipse happening in a couple of weeks, and the rules for eclipse season are to observe, slow down, don't make major life-changing decisions, and just to focus more on like your internal processes. Okay, so you acknowledge what's coming up, fear, trauma, negative attitudes, and just do a lot of inner work. Write it all down. Just don't keep it hidden from yourself. The kind of success that you have during eclipse season and Mercury retrogrades depends on how aware and like attentive you are to your own emotions. So based on that, it can either be like really rejuvenating or fucking destructive. Okay? Okay. So all this like woo-woo stuff aside, here's where things get interesting. So as we know, the universe of my understanding has a sadistic sense of humor when it comes to me. So last Wednesday, like April 19th, so 2 days before retrograde and the night of the solar eclipse, I was driving home, triggered as fuck because I had just been to see a client who happens to live in the same hometown as my ex. So I was driving in silence, just trying to breathe and let my emotions do their thing. And I had this moment where I started to relax. And I remember thinking, oh, it feels like the ice around my heart just melted. And I recognized this thought, like became very, very aware of it. My ease in that moment of the ice melting around my heart. And something kicked in and reminded me to be angry and protective of myself. Like, don't forget how pissed off you are, Kinga. Don't have any moments of ease or vulnerability or peace for fuck's sake, right? Like, that's not safe. Those feelings aren't safe. Like, you must keep your heart coated in ice to protect your anger, right? So that was like an intense few moments as my brain battled that out. Anyway, I got home, I checked my socials, I had a bunch of DMs, and right in the middle of those was my ex's name. We hadn't had any contact in 3 months and 1 week, as you guys know. So obviously that was the first message that I opened. And there were like 4 or 5 messages in there expressing regret, missing me, acknowledgement of past behaviors, promises for the future. So let's just let that sink in for one moment. Okay, so I also have a rule that I abide by for the past few years. It makes my life a hell of a lot easier when I implement it, is that if I am overwhelmed with feelings, when I'm deep in my feels, when I am hit with a tidal wave of feelings, I do absolutely nothing. So I don't make any decisions. I stand perfectly still. I am a statue. I just float. So I did absolutely nothing with what was being thrown at me in that moment. But obviously, I took a screenshot and sent it to my closest friends with the SOS emoji, obviously. Fucking retrograde and fucking eclipse season. Let's get into it. Okay. The first person I messaged was my friend and co-mother who immediately FaceTimed me, which I appreciate so much because I feel like some texts definitely require a FaceTime, you know? I think I just word vomited my fears and frustrations. Like I was angry. The messages were so full of emotion and so raw and uninhibited. And this is not at all like the controlled person I knew him to be. So I immediately assumed he'd been drinking. And telling myself that story made me fucking furious. The second person I spoke to was my best friend, and I answered her call and was like, can you believe that message? And she's like, okay. So he messaged me also. And obviously I said, screenshot and send that shit. And his messages to her were also really sweet and held himself accountable and was basically trying to feel out if it was a good time to reach out to me. And she didn't get the message for a few hours, and he was like, fuck it, and messaged me anyway, which I actually like and I think is fucking hilarious, and I appreciate that kind of uninhibited courage. The following morning, I talked to another one of my girlfriends who asked me, like, the best question ever. She said, what was your first feeling when you read those messages? And I knew the answer right away. It was relief. I felt relieved. I felt so relieved. Like the wave of relief that washed over me, I can't even tell you how comforted I felt. So that was my first emotion. The second one, which took about a fraction of a second to kick in, was absolute fucking panic. Like, what in the fuck am I supposed to do now? What am I supposed to do with this, right? I went to my co-parents' house and they were packing for vacation. So I lied in their bed for, I don't know, maybe half an hour and cried and expressed anger. And I just want you to appreciate for a minute how bizarre that, bizarre and beautiful that situation is, lying in my ex-husband's bed with his wife lying next to me as I cry about my broken heart over another man. Life is wild. Anyway, ultimately, I decided that the door wasn't closed for him. Sending those messages did indicate some change. Like, it showed a level of vulnerability and bravery that I did not think he was capable of before. But I wanted to see what else there was. Like, I was just really curious to see if there was anything else. And I also wanted to know if he'd been drinking. And my deepest fear in that moment was that he had been drinking when he sent those messages and they would be null and void when he was sober. So I messaged him back. I said, can you give me a quick call when you have a minute? He called me. And the first thing I asked him, actually, he called me, I answered, and he just went off about just basically expanding on what he'd already said in those messages, holding himself accountable, demonstrated a level of self-awareness that I did not think was possible for this man. I said nothing for probably, I don't know, 3-5 minutes. He just went on and on and on about all this self-reflection. And I was like, okay, cool, thanks. Number one, how drunk were you when you sent me those messages? So he was not drunk at all. He was actually on a break at work. So major relief about that. And I'm not going to go over the whole conversation because that's, you know, private, which is hilarious coming out of my mouth. But I do want to keep that private. But the whole situation sucked. But it felt good to acknowledge that I wanted him to come around and that I wanted him to realize that he had a lot of fucking self-care to do before reaching out to me. So when he did reach out, I was like relieved to hear that some of the work had already been done. And there was something about the act of writing out those messages, like the self-awareness that had to go into them, into holding himself accountable and also into, you know, expressing his undying love for me. But then B, hitting send and like putting that out there, like it gave me hope for him and subsequently for us, if there was ever going to be an us again. And I know from experience, from sharing during countless AA and NA meetings, from working closely with a sponsor, from keeping a journal, from starting this podcast and the intimate nature of this, from making Instagram videos about how I'm feeling and how I'm doing and what I've been doing. Like, I know how much courage that takes to simply just share your true feelings and your true self. Like, your actual feelings, though, not like the narrative created after the feeling, you know, like the pure feelings before your brain kicks in. That takes a lot of fucking courage, and like, pat myself on the back for doing that. And anyone that can do that, I really admire that. And I admire you and I admire myself for doing that. And I know a lot of other people admire me for that too. So this week has sort of, once I opened that door, everything that followed forced me into a different path of self reflection. Like, I'd spent the last 3 months focusing on just building myself back up into this stronger version of me, you know? Like, I didn't think that I needed to focus on forgiveness of another person because that person was not in my life, like, at all. And I hadn't had a chance to let certain fears come up and out, like really specific fears and specific resentments, because there was no other focus in the past 3 months except for on myself and how I handled myself in those situations. And that was fucking great for me, but it definitely is not a complete healing process. And there was a big chunk of my healing that was missing. And this week was an exercise in observing myself when I opened that door to that person. And of course, observing him and how he was speaking and how he was receiving my information. And, you know, building up the courage in myself to be like, you know, I'm really mad about XYZ and I really hated it when you did XYZ. And why did you do that? And what do you think the issue is there? And how are you feeling about self-reflection? And how are you feeling about speaking those words, right? And me actually getting the courage to say those words and observing myself in that process and then observing what was the reaction to that and what was kind of coming at me. And I'm proud of that. I am so proud of that. I'm proud of the way I pumped my brakes on myself and reminded myself to not make any major decisions right now, to just observe how he is with me and how I am during our conversations and observe my defenses, observe letting my guard down, observe how I feel, and just giving due regard to how I am feeling. So amidst all of these thoughts and feelings, and you guys, this was just the first day. I started a list of my truths. I felt like I needed to ground myself and keep myself rooted in who I am in this moment. I could feel my foot going on like the gas pedal, like shooting forward to see exactly what he's like now and where this could go. And my heart pushed me aside and was like, let's go. So I needed my head to take the wheel just for a minute. So here is the list of my truths. I am very protective of myself. I am not healed from this yet. I respect myself and I honor my needs. I have high standards for people in my inner circle. My inner circle is comprised of high quality people. I don't take action with a dysregulated nervous system. I feel embarrassed about things in my past relationships that I did not stand up against. I am on the path of self-forgiveness by changing my behavior. I do really well on my own. I want my romantic partner to value constant personal evolution. I am open to experiencing and witnessing his growth. I am committed to my own growth. I am open to what our connection can help me with. I am open to growing our relationship together. I want to be with a more healed version of him. Fuck. So I know I need to do some observation, some assessment. How different could someone possibly be in 3 months? Kinga, look at yourself, girl. Are you the same person you were 3 months ago? Fucking no. Do I think I am the only one in the whole entire world who gets to evolve? Girl, come on. And a conversation with a friend recently reminded me that people can change for the better. Personal evolution for others exists. I'm not the same person I was 3 months ago, and he doesn't really seem to be either. And I kept telling him that the breakup was the best thing that could have happened to me. And he sort of sheepishly agreed because it forced him into self-care. Why would I think that the breakup was the best thing that could have ever happened to me, but not the best thing that could have ever happened to him? Like, this doesn't actually make any sense. And I get that. I totally get that. Uncomfortable things happen and we are forced to level up. That is the theme of my existence, for fuck's sake. And I know that no one is a lost cause. I know this. No matter how much I resent them, no matter how much I focused on my hurt, no matter how strong my convictions are about a person, no one is a fucking lost cause. Like, I'm not a hypocrite and I'm not blind. I try really hard not to be a hypocrite and I try really hard not to be blind. Sometimes I'm a hypocrite and sometimes I am blind. Eventually, I get to less hypocrisy and less blindness. I think that's probably more accurate. I can't be either of those things just to protect myself. And like I know from the thousands of people I have worked with over the years in recovery that incremental changes are absolutely possible. And if I don't acknowledge that, why the fuck am I working in a recovery industry? Why do I value recovery so much? Why do I value my clients' milestones so much? You know? I look at the progress I've made on myself in the past 3 months, and I'm basically being forced to open up to the idea that someone else can make progress too, which is annoying and scary, but ultimately what I want to see. But acknowledging the progress of someone who has hurt you is way more difficult to do when your heart is hurting and your ego is puffing up, trying to remind you all the time of how much better you are than everyone, which I'm definitely guilty of doing. One of the things I have learned about myself over the years, but especially in the last 3 months, is that anger is way easier for me than sadness. Sadness is an emotion that leaves me vulnerable and fragile, and I would rather have the protective armor of anger than experience the fragility of sadness. Anger energizes me, while sadness makes me very tired. Anger makes me protect myself. Man, give me righteous anger, like really legit, valid anger. Delicious. Like I can repeatedly throw myself in buckets of ice water with that amount of rage, right? Like that's how protected I am. And I also think that that's why, like on that day that I was driving home and my defenses went down for a moment, I felt the urge to bring them back up again. While being vulnerable comes easier to me now, I don't particularly enjoy it. I also don't much enjoy the process of forgiving other people. Like I don't like letting my guard down, like at all. I'm an incredible grudge holder to the detriment of myself mostly. This week was really, really hard on me, like a really horrible exercise because my defenses were definitely up and they still are as I'm recording this. But the irony of that is that all the things I was hoping he would do and say were being presented to me. And it was really obvious to me how much difficulty I was having keeping my guard up consistently. Especially as like my strongest convictions about this person were being replaced by new evidence. And I remember one podcast I recorded a few months ago about how being around certain people who have known me for a long time or people I knew years ago is really hard on me because I feel like they A, treat me as the person I used to be but like no longer am, or B, I feel like I have to prove to them that I'm no longer the person I was and I put all this pressure on myself. And I'm kind of confronted with the question of like, how would I feel if I was never given the chance to prove I've changed? Well, I mean, I know how I would feel. I also remember putting out a podcast where I told you guys I tried to make amends with people who knew me in high school and university, my old roommates, and I called and I emailed and I talked to them in person and they, you know, quite politely told me to go fuck myself and stay out of their lives. And like, that sucked. It sucked a lot because I know who I am now and I wish I'd been given the opportunity to show that I have evolved. I am open. I am open to seeing who he is now. And it's a tough pill to swallow for me and maybe for you guys too, but it feels like the right thing to do. And please, if you've experienced getting back together with an ex, reach out. The slow process of it, all the work that goes into it, reach out. he and I have been listening to podcasts on various topics, but also on this topic, which have been so interesting and helpful and kind of affirming that I'm going about this like the right way. But I would love it if you guys let me know your experience with what worked and what didn't. I've got one girlfriend right now who's going through the same thing. I've had friends in the past that have gone through this, but I always welcome more anecdotes from people who have gone through this. Anyway, this week has been all about self-reflection, you know, another level of self-reflection, another path of self-reflection, and self-reflection on things that I didn't need to reflect on in the past 3 months because I was so focused on my relationship with myself. But I also observed a lot. Like, I observed how he talked about himself, about what he has been up to, about how he's feeling about himself, how he's feeling about me, about his connections with himself, how that shows up in his connections with others and with me, his lifestyle changes, the depth and quality of our conversations, his capability to have difficult conversations, all of that. And a few days ago, I just like read him my entire journal from when we broke up until that day, like literally that morning. Dude's like, I'm not even joking. Like, there's dates and times and different headings with lists of like specific resentments and fears and my truths and my questions for him. And he received it so well, like just so gently and thoughtfully. And I actually can't believe he encouraged me to do that. But I said it was important to me to let him know like what my experience in the relationship was and my experience with having, you know, him back in my life, which has been really, really hard on me, right? So I said it was important to me to let him know that. And he was like, okay, let's have it. Like, I totally understand. Do it. Let's go. This whole situation kind of forced me to level up on how I handle myself. And I do want to see how this new version of me plays out in this relationship with this person. I showed myself this week how honest I can be and how brave, and stating things, you know, that in the past I never would have stated because I had this like deep fear of being unloved or left or whatever. Shit, this week showed me that I definitely still have some abandonment wounds and a fear of being unloved. But it's also shown me the degree to which those fears play a role in my life, and they're not as strong. Like, they're not as strong, especially with this person. And that is great fucking news. Also great fucking news is that I have someone who is so openly committed to being with me, who has me on a very tall pedestal, which I have always known he's had me on. Like, that was never really in question. But like, remember I said how it probably didn't feel great standing next to me when you feel like you can't really compare to my greatness? Like, I probably didn't use those words because they sound super douchey, but like, that's definitely what I meant. Also, I'm a bit of a douchebag sometimes, but I had like all of these expectations of him that were not at all acknowledging his reality, and how it probably didn't feel super great always failing to meet the expectations of your partner. So like, all the conversations this week have shown me that like, he has leveled up, you know, apart from me, out there on his own, and not in like small ways. Like, there are like big shifts, which is nice. Right now, I don't feel like I don't need to hop off my pedestal to meet him where he's at. It's like, he's doing the work to climb up so he can stand next to me. And there's like a bunch of stuff already where he's like already standing next to me, which is really cool. And also, it's like a comforting little safety net of love as I continue to figure out my own stuff. So that's nice. And I feel like that's like really what all this is about, like observing myself and my actions and knowing who I am now and making sure that me in this moment is at the forefront of all daily operations. Like, I like this version of me. I feel like I can trust her, and I like this version of him, and I feel like I can trust him. And I respect so much the work that he's been doing the past few months and the work that I've been doing the past few months. And it seems like what we have in common is that You know, we weren't doing the work on ourselves in attempts to get the other one back. We were like individually doing work on ourselves so that we could adequately recover from the past versions of ourselves so that we could be happy and comfortable and trusting of ourselves in our own separate lives. And maybe we'll come back together and do that together. And I am definitely fearful. This week has brought up my people-pleasing behaviors where I'm worried people will be disappointed in my choices. And it's good to know there's some residual people-pleasing stuff I need to work on for sure. I'm hoping that my strengthening my self-respect will overshadow the people-pleasing fears, but I am fearful that, you know, some people won't give this a chance. I fear that I won't take into consideration other people's experiences of me experiencing this whole breakup or other people's fears about this. I fear that I won't give him all the respect that he deserves. My fears about looping people into this leg of the journey are heavy for sure. I have a fear of being judged by my friends and my family as weak or having no self-respect or sort of throwing all the work I've done out the window. And by all of you guys too, I have a fear of being misunderstood, that, you know, I'm not putting myself first, or that I am putting myself first and I'm not listening to what I need to be listening to. I have a fear of being reprimanded by the people that I had opened up to about my pain. I have fears that I'm not doing what people want me to do. I have fears that I'm giving someone a chance and it'll fail. I have a fear of being embarrassed about making the wrong decisions. I fear being seen as less than a strong, independent woman and being seen as, you know, vulnerable, fragile, weak. I fear that I will always be labeled as someone who is always making mistakes. Just fear, fear, fear. It's like, it's constant. It's fucking eclipse season, you guys. Like, it's all the shit coming up and out. My journal is getting a lot of action. But if I am preaching about self-respect, I'm going to be forced to practice it, right? Universe of my understanding was like, oh, you're really leaning into your self-respect? Well, let's see how you do with this. So an image that I use on myself and on my clients is this image of a tree rooted firmly in the ground, but it's really, really windy outside. So right now, it's really windy outside. I do feel firmly rooted in the ground, and I won't be pushed around by fear. And any conversations that I need to have, I will have them if I feel that there is a requirement for me to have them. And I know that I'm not afraid of life without him. Like, I know I can do it, and I can do it well. What I am afraid of is having my guard up and not letting someone show me their progress. That feels wrong to me. That feels hypocritical. If I never let myself observe people's changes and let myself love a new version of them, and they don't do the same for me, honestly, I would not have a lot of the amazing relationships in my life that I currently have. And this week has also forced me to remember the good parts about our relationship and the good qualities that he has that kept me in love for 3 years. And again, I didn't think I would have to think about those things again, but I started making a million lists, right? And that was one of the things I actually put off making because I wanted to focus more on all the bad. But I started making a list of like all the things that I remembered that were actually good. And it was hard because I'm not great with forgiveness, as you know. It's right up there with sadness. But listen, I opened the podcast with a beautiful quote from Nina Simone. If you don't know who that is, What the fuck are you waiting for? Go look that up. But Nina Simone spoke about being 100% herself. And that quote actually came up on my memories today. And man, I fucking needed that reminder. Though the universe of my understanding can be sadistic, it is also always giving me what I need. And the quote reminded me that the point of my life is not to be pushed around or influenced by other people or by my fears. And I've done copious amounts of shadow work to not let that stuff run my life. It's very much an old version of me, but she definitely still exists in me. And sometimes she's triggered to come to the surface. And that's when this new version of me gets to spring into action. But just like Nina Simone, the hope in my life is to be so super duper myself that it forces people to look at themselves and reflect on their own internal reactions to the things I am saying. And I want to continue to be absolutely unabashedly myself in my day to day on this podcast with people who love me. And I want to use the love and forgiveness I have for myself on others. And I always want to stay open to letting people show me how they've evolved. That has always brought a lot of joy to my life. I'm always honest with you guys. I'm always honest. And, you know, my brand is recovering from everything. So you, dear listener, get to come with me through all of my thoughts and experiences. And you can choose to reflect on yourself and only yourself. This, you know, this is not a space for judgment of others. This is a space for unadulterated self-reflection of shit you really did not want to think about, which is what I do on here. I guess you can never really be sure that a relationship is going to last forever. I know that. I know that because A, I got a divorce, and B, because of all the friendships that have died over the years. And I also know from experience that sometimes a version of you has to die for another version of you to be born. And that is the same for all of us, every single person listening. Endings are always a possibility. And so are new beginnings. And so are more endings and more new beginnings. You know? Thank you for listening to another episode of Recovering from Everything, a podcast for everyone who has ever had anything happen to them ever, including considering getting back together with an ex during eclipse season and when Mercury is in retrograde. Hint, don't do anything. Just observe for a while. Love you. Have a good week.
My thing, what I hope to do all the time, is to be so completely myself, which that's what I hope I am, to be so much myself that my audiences and even people who meet me are confronted. They're confronted with what I am, inside and out, as honest as I can be. In this way, they have to see things about themselves immediately.